Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Now, typically, if you're a regular listener to the show, there is a method to the madness. And I'm not that hard to figure out. The show's not that deep. Typically, when the NBA playoffs are going on, whatever the late NBA game is, we always start with some kind of reaction to the late NBA game. That's how we've done things. I've been here a long time. We've always kind of followed the same mantra here. And if you listen, you can figure that out. But this night is different. We had two El Stinko Bamos in the NBA, right? No, the hockey game actually ended up. I watched the hockey game. Both basketball games sucked. Don't tell Eddie about that. But anyway, so both games lose. So I have the option of choosing which one I would rather talk about. And I look at all these teams and I'm thinking, well, who would be most interesting to talk about in this context? Now, we generally don't talk about winners. We talk about losers. So I have options of the Portland Trailblazers or the Philadelphia 76ers. And I have chosen, as a guy I used to work with would say, from the bottom of the deck, I have chosen the Philadelphia 76ers as the more compelling topic because Toronto feasting on home cooking. And the Philadelphia 76ers, I think the phrase is Canadian bacon, they were just cooked. I don't know if you watched this or not. I did. I didn't watch the whole thing because the game sucked. The game was over. Philadelphia didn't compete, so why should I? And the Toronto Raptors, not led by Kawhi Leonard, Pascal Siakam with 25 points. Kawhi Leonard, he had a rather quiet 21 points. He didn't go for 40 or 35, 21 points. And the Raptors dominating this game. How dominant was it? 125-89. So the Canadian lads have a 3-2 lead in the Eastern Conference semifinals. It is the biggest postseason margin of victory in franchise history. Holy Damon Stoudemire. Wow. Man, get out that dinosaur uniform again. But again, the better story is in the losing locker room. So Philadelphia played this game. Watching this game, it looked like they thought it was a time warp. And there was some kind of wormhole, and the Sixers had gone to like a Tuesday night in mid-November against the Charlotte Hornets. Instead of being the Philadelphia 76ers, after that performance, they changed their name, actually. They're now the Philadelphia 36ers because that's the margin of defeat. They lost by 36 points. Highlighted by Joel Embiid scanning the stat sheet while sitting on the bench, Joel Embiid, his team down 40. And he's looking at the box score. All right, so let's discuss the question. What do you make of that? Forget the game, because the game, there's not much to talk about. What do you make of Joel Embiid's obsession with the stat sheet while in uniform on the bench? All right, now, my observations. You've got symbolic, the butterfly effect, and Uncle Mo. And we will combine all of these things together. We'll put them, we'll line them up like the alphabet, the ABCs, and the numbers, the 1, 2, 3s, and we'll see what happens. Now, number one, Philadelphia has always been a team, whatever sport, there's a certain way. Like, towns have identities. I believe in this. Like in L.A., you can't just win. You've got to have some pizzazz. People generally, they don't appreciate teams that don't have possession. If you have a team filled with players that just work hard, they don't like that. You need to have some star power. Philadelphia, though, is a town whose sports teams, my entire life, as I can recall growing up, watching the different teams that have come through Philadelphia in the sports, always got to have that muscle, got to have that grit, got to punch a guy in the face, the Broad Street Bullies, right? That kind of thing. And the Sixers had one of the most, let's be honest here, gutless performances I can recall in recent NBA postseason history. And we've seen a lot. Listen, teams check out all the time. This was soft. This was lacking effort. This was no backbone. Trying to take the baton, Philadelphia is, as the softest team in the East, away from the Raptors, who've owned that for many years, and had just Philadelphia, if you look at back to game three, like, wasn't game three where the Raptors just stopped playing in that game and Philly was flying around, Joel Embiid like a jet, you know, flying around and around and doing that whole thing? And so that we ripped Toronto. I pretty much everything we said about Toronto, all the adjectives, we can move over to Philadelphia. Now, being fair, the Sixers, while it was a gutless effort, they did compete for 12 minutes, 12 good minutes of basketball. And that would not be a problem if the game was only 12 minutes long, but it was 48 minutes. It was a one-point game. You know this. You saw the game. It was a one-point game, 27-26, and the Raptors were up by one at the start of the second period. Toronto then outscores Philadelphia the rest of the game, 98-63 over the final 36 minutes for the 36-point margin. And so Joel Embiid's there. He's looking at the box score, down 40. That is symbolic. It shows you, not just him, but the entire team, they were just not there.
Poop fest.
Yeah, if you put one of those cartoon bubbles over Joel Embiid's head, you wonder what would be in that cartoon bubble. Now, Philadelphia's coach, Brett Brown, he was defensive. He was in a defensive posture, and he was upset because there was a lot of criticism of Joel Embiid, and he was very upset. Listen to Brett Brown push back against gas bags like me that take cheap shots at Joel Embiid.
I think it's grossly unfair.
What?
Some of the criticism that he gets, I don't understand
what?
That. And so it's not ideal. It's you wished he were at shoot around. You wished he were in film sessions. But he's had a temperature for the last few days that's kept him in bed.
Really? I mean, listen, I get it. I know you're paid to be an advocate for your players here, but know your customer. Know your fan base here. Brett Brown just said about another grown man, it's grossly unfair. And 2 days with a temperature and all that. How about the opposite? Let's do a 180 on that, Coach Brown. How about it's completely fair? It goes with the territory. And, well, I have a weird situation with Embiid because I like him. He's good for the show. He says crazy stuff. He does weird stuff. I don't want Philadelphia to succeed because that would reward trust the process. But it does, if you are braggadocious, if you are someone who's braggadocious, you dish it out. You got to be able to take it. You got to be able to take it. And Joel Embiid, he always says, I'm the most dominant player in the NBA. He says that many, many times. And he was just knocked out by a head cold. How can you be the most dominant force in the NBA when you've got the sniffles and you are a complete zero? It makes no sense. You know, yet again, doubtful, battling, an infection. He is the hypochondriac of the NBA. How did that stat sheet look for Joel Embiid? Let's go to the stat sheet. He had 13.6 rebounds and, wait for it, 8 turnovers. 8. Now, if you go to a bakery and get 8 turnovers, you're happy and you're fat. But if you're an NBA player and you have 8 turnovers, you've done something terribly wrong. And so in 5 playoff games against the Raptors, Joel Embiid has scored over 17 points one time and shot 48% in this playoff series. So that is El Stinko in every hustle category. Years ago, one of my favorite people I ever was around in the NBA, this guy Bill Fitch. You probably don't know who that is. He's going to Hall of Fame. He was great. I was around him at the end of his career, and he knew the team. He was coaching the Clippers. He knew they were terrible. And they were horrific in those days. So he had an idea, let's put a hustle board up because we're not going to win the actual game, but we're going to win the hustle stats. And they put this hustle board up at the LA Sports Arena. It was really funny. And so even to this day, I look at the hustle stats, and every one of the hustle stats, the Sixers were decimated. As you could imagine, you lose by 36 points, second chance points, deflections, all the way down the list. Toronto scored 31 points off Philadelphia turnovers. This is a giveaway the store situation for the Philadelphia 76ers in here. That's how it went. Here's Brett Brown. Let's go to Brett Brown. One more from Brett Brown, pointing out the lack of weaponry, he says.
We got hit in the mouth. Toronto came in and they hit us in the mouth, and we tried to fight back, and we just didn't have the firepower on the night.
We got a no-hitter in baseball!
Respond the way that I wish that we did.
We got a no no-hitter in baseball. Some guy named Mike Fiers threw a no-hitter for the Oakland Athletics. Second career no-hitter. He no-hit the Dodgers. But that was a bogus no-hitter. That was a bogus one a couple years ago. It was with the Astros. But Mike Fiers, who threw 700 pitches, got a no-hitter for the Oakland Athletics against the Cincinnati Reds tonight. We now get back to regularly scheduled programming. Sorry, I got a little excited there. I looked up, and he had just gotten the final out of the no-hitter. Anyway, back to this. So you heard Brett Brown drone on there. Now, the second thing, Philadelphia has a huge headache on their hands. And I'm not talking about Embiid being a hypochondriac. I'm talking about, I hate doing this because it's Ben on Ben crime, Ben Simmons. All right? Ben Simmons is a riddle wrapped in an enigma. That phrase applies. The kid that can't shoot straight. In the 1980s, in the early 90s, and different generations, Ben Simmons' skills would truly be fine. Now, in the modern era, he is a liability. There is nowhere to hide Ben Simmons. Philadelphia is a pretty easy team to defend in most game situations with Ben Simmons on the court. Why is that? Because it's like a hockey team with a player in the penalty box. The Sixers are shorthanded on offense. There's a phrase which applies here with Ben Simmons. It is the butterfly effect. It seems like a minor issue. He can't shoot. Big deal, right? But it has larger effects on the entire Sixers team. Opposing teams know that when Ben Simmons has the ball, or when he doesn't have the ball, if he's outside the paint area, you don't have to defend him because you're not going to shoot. You can sag off Ben Simmons defensively and double team another player. So it's really a 5-on-4 situation for defense and on offense. There's no way to cover this guy up. It is a pernicious situation for Philadelphia. The list of NBA players who have gone from unable to shoot from the outside to efficient outside shooters in professional basketball is minuscule. You're talking about a handful. And the mainstream media always likes to point out, well, what about Jason Kidd? All right, mainstream media is convinced that Ben Simmons will learn how to shoot, just like they're convinced Lonzo Ball is going to learn how to shoot. Listen, the way I look at it, for every Jason Kidd who wasn't a great shooter, but he became an efficient shooter by the end of his career with the Mavericks, you have Darius Miles, who if only he could have shot, would still be in the NBA, would be in the bleeping Hall of Fame, could never learn how to shoot. It's also like what Mike Leach, the coach at Washington State, says about quarterbacks. You can't develop people into being accurate as a quarterback after the age of like 18, right? That's the way it is. I mean, in Leach, he's ranted about how if you're not the most accurate guy at, you know, fourth, sixth grade, and you can't take a snowball and hit a stop sign, you're not going to be a great quarterback. But the NBA is not a developmental league. Now, the only hope for the Sixers here is that, like, the Kardashian clan can teach him how to shoot because he hangs out with them in the offseason, right? He's still with the Jenners and the Kardashians and all that. So maybe in the offseason he can learn how to shoot from one of them, right? Kim's got a mean backside. She could post him up. She can post anybody up, right? She played different. Right? All right, the final point here. Now, Brett Brown was attempting to be the cockeyed optimist after the game as well. He said, there is no dent in our spirit. There is no self-pity. He said, the team will be fine. He's going to be okay. Now, I'm in a show-me state of mind. If the Sixers, obviously they don't play better, they're going to lose. Forget about it. But if they don't play better, Brett Brown is going to get a nice package. A pink slip is what he's going to get. He's going to be fired. The fall guy in Philadelphia. Now, on a positive note, I'll be very positive here. I'm not negative. I'm positive talk shows. For Philadelphia, with Brett Brown and the Sixers and all this, this series is a reminder that Uncle Mo does not exist. Let's look at how this has played out. Toronto won game one. Philadelphia came back. Jimmy Butler had a game where he dominated and Joel Embiid was out, and the Raptors won the game in game two. And then Toronto in game three, you figure, all right, they're going to come back, play a little better. They just disappeared, lost the next two, and now the Raptors have come back, and they've won two in a row. And this is a tough one because the way Philadelphia is going right now, you think, well, Joel Embiid's Mr. Softy. He's a pussy willow, Philadelphia's not going to win. But then Toronto's got a whole roster of pussy willows, so I don't know what to do with this. Like, I can make a relevant, compelling argument that both teams don't deserve to win, right? And you know, you say, well, the difference is Pascal Siakam. Okay, but he can disappear too. You know? All right, anyway, it's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold, Garcia. Am I bad talk shows for not alerting people prior to the actual no-hitter? I know Jason was talking about that earlier on his show, but I felt like I'll just wait, and then all of a sudden, bam, I looked up, the no-hitter happened.
Well, you never know if it's going to happen or not, and I don't know if you're superstitious. Maybe you don't want to jinx it. Maybe you don't care.
I don't care about that. I don't bother.
Wait till it happens before you talk about it. So we did have our first no-hitter of the Major League Baseball season.
Mike, Eddie.
Yes, this week in baseball.
Around the majors, Mike Fiers is on fire in Oakland.
That's right, Mike Fiers for the Oakland Athletics. 9 innings, no runs, no hits, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks. He gets the first no-hitter of the season.
Well, you buried the lead, Eddie. Don't bury the lead, my man. Don't bury the lead.
8th no-hitter in Oakland A's history.
And how many pitches did he throw?
130, I believe.
134 pitches.
134. Good
His
for him.
His arm is going to be amputated tomorrow morning.
It's the A's. Good for them.
I agree.
Him out there.
That's a great job by these. People say I'm very critical of the Oakland Athletics, but that's a good job by them. The A's aren't very good this year. Mike Fiers isn't an average major league pitcher. He had a bogus no-hitter before against the Dodgers.
No, that was legitimate.
That was not a legitimate
with
no-hitter.
With the Houston Astros.
There was a bogus call in that
2015.
Game. You don't remember the game, Eddie. I remember the game.
It doesn't matter.
The Dodgers
anymore.
Got a hit. There was a blown call in the game.
That doesn't matter.
They did. It was a bad call by
the
in that
there
game.
Was a 90-minute delay to the start of this A's-Reds game because the lights were not working, shockingly enough, at that venerable ballpark there in Oakland.
As long as the toilets are working.
But eventually the lights came on, and Mike Fiers then turned out the lights on the Cincinnati Reds.
Look at that.
Clever.
2-0, the A's beat the Reds.
It's a good name for headlines on websites and newspapers and for radio people to throw the name around. It's very good.
I like this tweet from Frank. If a no-hitter happens in front of 40 people, did it really happen?
Hold on.
I hate to say this because I like baseball, but watching most games, there's about 40 people in the ballpark other than Dodger Stadium. And these stadiums are empty. No one is going. I guess baseball doesn't care. I guess they're just like, okay. Because then I got to lower the prices. I would think if I'm running a business, wouldn't I want people in there buying hot dogs and all that stuff? Like I pretty much give the tickets away to get people to go into the ballpark. But they're not doing that.
This reminds me of back in my old days when I was working in TV, and we were such jerks. We would root against no hitters because if someone threw a no hitter, we'd have to like stay and work extra. We'd have to redo the entire show. So we'd be all yelling across the studio, so and so's got a no hitter, trying to jinx, and we'd call people on the phone. What jerks we were, man.
That's exactly how it was when I was in the editing staff here.
Yeah. Same thing. And when I was at the ballpark, Eddie, with the Dodgers years ago, there was a guy named Norm Peters.
Yeah. Already had the story written, right?
Yeah. Everyone, all the writers write, now you don't have to do it as much because of the internet, most of the stuff's on the internet, but the writers would have their game story done. They'd have to click send. They'd have to run down to the clubhouse, get quotes, run back up, put the quotes in the story. It was a big pain in the ass. But my friend Norm, he always had to work extra just like everyone else if there's a no-hitter or a perfect game. So he'd start after the first pitch, they'd announce in the press box, first pitch, 7-11, game time temperature, 84 degrees or whatever it is. And Norm would stand up, no-hitter, 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 perfect game, perfect game, perfect game. He would shout it.
What jerks.
Every game he would yell it out. Right after first pitch. Wouldn't even wait for the second pitch. Right after the first pitch, he would shout it out because he didn't want to deal with it.
I know. I was one of those jerks too at one time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Move out of the way, Bill Hanslick and Fat Lever and Alex English and Dan Issel, Nikola Jokic. With the greatest playoff game, they're saying, in Nuggets history, he had a wonderful performance. 25 points, 19 rebounds, 6 assists. He did foul out in 34 minutes of action, but he ended up playing when the game was over, really, at halftime. But the Denver Nuggets win this game 124-98. If you're bad at math, that's a 26-point win. And more importantly, the Nuggets now on the brink of eliminating the Portland Trailblazers. They have a 3-2 lead in the series as the Nuggets had help all over the place. Yeah, guys all over. But Nikola Jokic, he had 19 rebounds, as I mentioned there. That tied the single-game record for the Nuggets. And he's the first player to have that stat line, 25 points, 19 rebounds, and 6 assists, since LeBron James, like 10 years ago, back when LeBron was good, when he was playing in Cleveland. Back in 2010, I believe he was with Cleveland before he went to Miami. Anyway, so Jokic was great. And so the question becomes this. We know the better stories in the losing locker room. Is this series now over? We know mathematically it is not over, but is it over? Because the Nuggets only have to win 1 out of 2. The Blazers have to go 2-0 the rest of the series after coming out and shooting 36% in this game, a key game 5 where the numbers indicate, you know, 80% of the time or whatever, the teams that win game 5 in a tie series end up winning. So the question, what are the odds that the Blazers can come back? Now, I know the math says it's like 80% chance the Nuggets are going to win. I believe the odds in this series are different. So I don't think it's 80%. I believe that there is a 40% chance the Blazers will come back, only a 60% chance the Nuggets are going to win, which is still better than 50%. But I'm putting it at plus 150, which implies a 40% chance. So my thoughts on this, you've got the wild card. You've also got the Lion's Den and the Scaredy Cat. And we will put all of this together into a nice little casserole. A guy asked me on Twitter, how can you cook a casserole in 15 minutes? I said, hey, it's the magic radio box. We can cook it up in 15 minutes. That's how we do it. So we start with Nikola Jokic. We just talked about him. The word is imposing. And he had another playoff game with a gargantuan stat line. It was like an oil painting. But to me, watching the game, so you didn't have to watch the game, the thing that stood out here was the wild card, the unexpected. Like, you expect Nikola Jokic to have a monster statistical game. You can beat the Denver Nuggets if only Nikola Jokic is getting a bunch of rebounds and scoring a bunch of points. That's not what happened here. The thing that paralyzed Portland was guys like Paul Millsap, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, these other players who played marvelous basketball. They were fabulous in this game. Jamal Murray, he played like 33 minutes or something like that. He had 18 points. He had 9 assists in the game. Paul Millsap, it's like he's in the hot tub time machine going back a few years ago when he used to be a regular all-star level player back in Atlanta. He had 24 points and 8 rebounds, Paul Millsap. I mean, this team, if they're going to play like that, listen, the Nuggets are going to win, and the Nuggets, dare I say, have a shot to go to the NBA Finals. But that said, again, I'm not buying it. This series is the bigs versus the smalls. That's the series. Damian Lillard has been slightly off. You don't need me to tell you that, but just look at the foul shooting. Like, Lillard this season did not have one game where he was so off at the foul line where he missed 3 foul shots in a single game. He has now missed 3 foul shots in the last 2 games for the Blazers. It's the little things like that. The little things like that. And just look at the game in the first half, where the game pretty much got away if you looked at the actual game itself, the way the game was played. In the second quarter, the thing started to slide away for Portland. But there were a bunch of guys that just didn't show up to work for the Trailblazers in the first half of the game. And it doesn't matter if you show up in the second half when you're getting boat raced. And Damian Lillard, at halftime, he was 7 of 12 from the floor. He was shooting 58%. The rest of the Trailblazer team was shooting 31% as a team. Anyone else that took a shot other than Damian Lillard in the first half, and Lillard in the second half, he didn't shoot well at all. I think it was like 2 out of 9 or something like that, 2 out of 10 in the second half. But he's been a little bit off, these last couple of games, and really most of the series here. And even the game that the Blazers won in Denver, Lillard had a terrible performance overall by his standards. Now, the second thing here, the reason I am bullish on the Blazers, the reason I am optimistic, is that prior to the game on Tuesday, this was a dead even series. Statistically, record-wise, and I am not going to be a prisoner of the moment. Were the Blazers overmatched by the Nuggets in this game? Yes, they were. and there were it was like a tsunami. There were waves of water coming at the Blazers, and they didn't handle it well. I mean, everyone was making shots. The Blazers were playing no defense. It was a cringeworthy performance. They certainly were overmatched on this night. But the magic elixir, I know what it is. I have the placebo. The placebo, a nice home-cooked meal in the state of Oregon with Boom Shakalaka behind the mic there. And Portland, we know that play, I know it's a different arena than they used to play, and they've moved around a little bit. It's been there a while now. That is going to be a lion's den. And the Nuggets, if this goes the way it typically goes in the NBA, where you're like, hey, we're in pretty good shape. We only have to win one. We've got the home game in our back pocket. And you're like, wait a minute, now you're flying into a beehive into Portland. Good luck. Now, the last thing here, the obvious statement, which we all know here, if you are the Portland Trailblazers going into a Game 6, which is going to be on Thursday, a must-win situation, you throw everything. You throw those donuts, those famous donuts at the Nuggets. You throw the hippies that live in Portland, the tree huggers. You throw everything at the Denver Nuggets. All right, you throw everything at the Denver Nuggets. You got to live in the moment here. It's this whole cat and mouse game. But I'm telling you, the pendulum swings back in favor of Portland going to a Game 7. It does. You say, well, it doesn't matter because the Nuggets are at home and home teams normally win. And I get that. But I'm telling you, from watching the way this has gone down over the years, if I was given your money to wager, not my money, your money, and if I'm looking at this objectively and I say, okay, who would I rather have? Who's more likely to go bananas in a Game 7, Damian Lillard or Nikola Jokic? I'm putting my money on Lillard. I know he's been off a little bit. The other thing, you got those choking dogs that pop up, the tight Tookus syndrome. And players that normally perform well in a Game 7 situation, it gets down to that. You got a bunch of scaredy cats that are sucking their thumb in the fetal position. They're like, oh, my God, we're screwed. Oh, my God. I'm telling you. I want a bunch of Game 7s. We need a bunch of games. It's good for business. As long as they're close. Who cares if it's a blowout? I don't need a Game 7 if it's a blowout. I don't know about you, but I don't. All right, let's hear from some of the key participants here. Terry Stotts, who did not score for the Blazers because he was coaching. Terry Stotts here talking about the issue of the game was over going to the fourth quarter. In fact, how bad was it going to the fourth quarter? Let's see here. Well, at the end of the third, it was 93-65 in favor of the Denver Nuggets. So they were just boat racing the Portland Trailblazers, but the starters were still hanging around for Portland. What's that all about?
Definitely a different kind of basketball game. You did not bring your starters back into the game in the fourth quarter. Can you explain your strategy on that?
They needed a rest, and we were down 30. So if the second unit got it to a manageable game, then probably would have brought him back.
I was referring – actually, Nikola Jokic was the one. He was in there. He fouled out, but Jokic – he didn't foul out. They took him out. But Jokic played after the game was like a 32-point lead. The Nuggets actually were the ones that left Jokic in the game. All right, so Damian Lillard, I gave the Maller seal of approval a couple days ago to Damian Lillard, and ever since that's happened, he can't make a basket consistently for the Trailblazers. I have bestowed upon him the curse of the Bambino. Damian Lillard, I gave you my love on the radio, the magic radio box. What the heck is going on here? Here's Lillard trying to rationalize what happened.
I think the good thing for us is that it was, whether you lose by one or you lose by 25.
Oh, I know that game. Cliche. And, I know that.
Yeah. You know, we're going back home to try to force a game 7 and just make it back here.
I was the inventor of that one game cliche. Yeah. No, I was. You don't think I was? Yeah. No, not him. Come on. Every dumb sports cliche, I was behind. Every one of them. That's true. Yes. I mean, go down. Name any of them. I got it. I got you covered. All right, let's hear one more from Damian Lillard and the issue of rising to the occasion.
I've had big games against tough defense and in games where I was getting a lot of attention. So with our season on the line and Knowing that we got to have two games in a row, you know, you never know.
Huh. Just going to take it one game at a time. It's our bread and butter right there. Bread and butter. One game at a time. Pull out all the stops. That's what we're going to do. Even the stop sign. We're going to pull the stop sign out. Yeah, that's true. All right, we say hello to Edmund Dallas, Steamboat Willie, Judas, Solid Gold Garcia. A lot of positive reaction, Eddie, to the conversation between Angry Bill and Weedman Hippie.
I've seen that on Twitter as well, yes.
People want, now if you didn't hear that, go back and hear the podcast. People are demanding an encore. The problem, that was organic.
Yeah.
And if we force it, it's not as good.
Well, I mean, we could try it again, and if it doesn't work, then that'll be that. But, it probably won't be. There's anticipation now, you know?
Yeah, because if we do it again and we tell Angry Bill, hey, we're going to put you on with Weedman again, then Angry Bill's going to write some jokes down, and it won't be as good. That was just completely ad-libbed.
Smoke your wife's leg.
And Weedman's response, what?
Smoke what?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
See, this is my argument with Weedman. The problem, people like rip Weedman all the time. The problem is I use him wrong. I got to use Weedman a certain way. He's a very valuable part of our show, but I have to use him the right way. Nobody wants to hear Weedman come in here and talk about God and all that stuff on the radio. No one wants to hear that, right? And the fact that you people all have jobs and I don't have to worry. Who wants to hear that? But in those kind of moments, it's good. It's a good thing in those kind of moments. It's not bad. So.
He's like an ingredient that you use when you're cooking something, but you can't use too much of it. It's certain places where it fits in.
Yeah. Even like salt, you know, salt, very important. Boy, that changed the world when salt came around. People, the currency, people traded salt. That was how valuable salt was. It could keep food longer, made food taste better. It was a big deal, salt.
And raise your blood pressure,
love
too.
Salt. Oh, well, there's that.
But the point is, like, if you put too much salt on, you put too much salt on, you got blood pressure issues, and you got, you know, all kinds of problems. Everything in moderation, except this show. Everything in moderation except this show. That's how that works. All right, Ben Maller Show. We'll take your phone calls, 877-99 on Fox. We'll slide in a phone call right now, and we'll go to the clone who's in Fresno, and that's Eddie's stomping grounds. There's a sign when you enter Fresno, hometown of Eddie Garcia. It says it right there. Hello, clone.
Yes.
Hell was that?
I'm sorry, Eddie. I love you, man. You speak so eloquently.
I know. Thank you.
Wait, no. Why'd you cough as soon as I introduced you?
I just had a certain little thing in my throat. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm not here to judge you.
No, Eddie is the most eloquent speaker. I have no idea, man. Like, he speaks so fast, and it just it boggles my mind.
Well, you're quite the wordsmith yourself over there. You are.
No, it's not even close.
No, like, I'm very impressed.
Oh my gosh,
you speak like the King's English. You do.
Oh, geez, man.
What?
All I hear is Maller, like, he's got this canned laughter or whatever.
Oh, it's not canned. This is organic, and that's me. We actually have a live studio audience. Have we ever told you that, clone?
Yeah.
We have, I don't know if we're allowed to say this on the air, but there's a website you can get free tickets. Well, they're free tickets, but on the secondary market, you have to actually pay for them because they sell out. I think we're booked up till 2021, right, with our audience?
I believe so.
Yeah. We have more people to see our show live than Steve Harvey.
That's great because Silicon Valley's not coming out till 2020, I heard. So the next season.
That's a non sequitur? Okay. It's good.
A non sequitur?
What do you think a non sequitur is? This ought to be good. What do you think a non sequitur is?
That means like nobody knows what the hell we're talking about.
Kind of. I would say more it doesn't fit with what we're talking about, right? I think that would be what a non sequitur is, right?
You
can't logically follow the conversation when you throw that out there, yes?
Yes, sir.
Called me sir. Thank you. No one calls me sir. I'm a talk show host. I talk about athletes.
Now, Ben, can I indulge myself for a second?
Yes, Eddie. Go ahead.
Now, clone, I have not been in Fresno in quite a while. What's the big news in the know there?
They've got a lot of nice places. There's some places you don't want to go.
Could you be any more generic? Can you be any? I think you could say that about any city in the America, exactly. in the United States, anywhere, exactly. anywhere in the world. There are good parts and bad parts, parts to avoid, parts to go to.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So you really have added nothing. Eddie already knew that. I knew that. There are good parts of Fresno and bad. Like Bakersfield. I go to Bakersfield sometimes. There's a, you know,
no,
if you
but
go, if
Bakersfield, you, but Eddie, you would agree that Bakersfield has Taco Loco.
Well, that's huge, Eddie. So
yeah, I would agree with that.
Game changer.
That is like the main thing.
Yeah. All right, Colin. I think we're done with you. Yes? You have nothing else to say, right?
No, I wanted to talk about...
We're good.
Boy.
I wish we had a Taco Loco here, man.
Very informative.
Where's the closest Taco Loco?
No idea. Eddie, do you know?
I'll have to get back to you on that one, Roberto.
Okay. Look it up. We'll get to the bottom of it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Koopaloop.
Des Bryant posted a video to Instagram on Monday showing that he has returned to workouts and has started running for the first time since tearing his Achilles. Ben, do you think Bryant can succeed at comeback attempt number two?
All right, so first of all, I'll set the odds at like plus 700. So it's about a little over a 10% chance. Like Des Bryant will be a relevant figure. I'll say 10%. All right, he's got three strikes against him. He's going to be 31 by next season. He's coming off a torn Achilles, and he has a reputation of being a bad apple. So those are three strikes. And listen, I'm pulling for him. I want to see Des Bryant secondly. He's going to have to – I want to see him play on a good team. He's going to have to swallow his pride. And here's the other thing. He's in the discount bin. So he's going to have to beg the Patriots or the Chiefs or the Rams, somebody like that, just to give him a make-good contract for breadcrumbs. Next.
Ben, you've been dissing Klay Thompson a lot lately.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, mentioning how he gets a free pass and how often he disappears in big games.
Other people picking up on that now. Yeah.
However, the most recent report out there has him interested in the Clippers if the Warriors don't offer him the max.
Fake news.
Ben, is the interest not reciprocated?
No, this is a bogus story. Klay Thompson is going to stay in Golden State. Now, he is a real-life mystery as a player. And I wouldn't want him as a leading man. I'd be very cautious with Klay Thompson as a leading figure. He's a second or third wheel on the Warriors. He often vanishes at times. He gets a free pass when he plays terrible. I don't want him. But if Jerry West wants him, I'm okay with it. But I would stay away with him. I believe he's staying in Golden State. These are fake stories that pop up. Like he was going to play for the Lakers a month ago, and then he said he's going to stay in Golden State. All right, next.
Now, when asked about...
Yes.
When asked about Nick Bosa, Richard Sherman repeated something that you say often on this show, Ben, that if you can play well, nothing else that you do matters. Well, do you think that even in a liberal haven such as San Francisco, that Nick Bosa will be accepted and adored if he plays well?
Yeah, listen, San Francisco is like a liberal pleasure garden. It is. But people that watch the hardcore liberals aren't watching football. So, yes, he'll be fine. How about Richard Sherman, though, questioning a teammate's opposing viewpoint? How do we do, Coop?
You pass.
I won the game. At the buzzer, I won the game. I won.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Attention, everyone.
And the password is... Password. You idiot. Password, the word game of the stars. Here's Ben Maller.
All right, away we go. This edition of Password brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you treat you with Discover Card. We'll meet our contestants. We have our friend Lenny. You normally hear...
Lenny.
What's that?
Hey, Ben.
Hey, that's
How's
you.
Everything? That's me.
Yeah, that's you. I know you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm expanding my horizons to a new game.
Very exciting. Well, here we go,
Lenny. My plan is to dominate the game show world.
You want to become the ultimate game show whore. So to become the ultimate game show whore, you have to beat the reigning game show whore,
uh-oh,
which is Justin in Cincinnati. Hello, Justin.
Oh. More offensive than that hand signal.
Here we go. All right. Now, Justin, you are you fix stuff. You right? What exactly do you do, Justin? Yeah, I know you've been on a bunch of times. You sent photos out. You were fixing up some. What do you do?
That's barbecue and land. I'm landscaping.
Oh,
landscaping.
No, you're getting him confused with Just Josh again.
Oh, I think all guys in Cincinnati are the same. Yeah, Just Josh is the guy that sent out photos of this stuff. Yeah.
You confuse all your white guys, Ben.
Yeah, all the white guys are the same. All right, Justin, hold on.
Racist. And,
Justin's a gardener.
And
yeah, he is.
I'm not Mexican.
Wow.
Racist.
All right, and Lenny works at a graveyard. Racist. He works at the cemetery there, the crematorium there in Florida. All right, very good. Here we go. Who do you want to partner up with? Lenny.
I'm going to go with you, Benny.
All right. Good job by you, Lenny. Justin, who do you want to partner up with?
In honor of Cinco de Mayo, I'm going to go with Roberto.
All right.
Ooh.
So it's
wow. Half of me is offended.
Justin and Roberto and Lenny and Benny. Okay, Lenny, you were on the air first. Pick a number 1 to 10, please.
Let's go with Mickey Mantle, number 7.
Number 7. All right, number 7. The clue is, let's see here, prehistoric.
Dinosaur.
No. All right. Go ahead, Roberto. You're up with Justin. Roberto is right now not talking.
Hold on a sec. All right. Here we go.
I wonder what he's doing.
I couldn't imagine.
Biding his time.
Early.
Early. All right.
Ancient.
What?
Yeah!
Whoa!
I know it.
He got that off of Ben's clue.
No, well, he did, but you know what Justin did? Justin's quicker at Google than Roberto is, so they both had time. I'm protesting. All right. Go ahead.
Is this your first time playing, Roberto?
No, I played before.
Yeah, not very often.
I got a winner already.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You're not one. You got 9 points. You're up. Pick a number, Justin. Not anything but 7. 1 to 10, but not 7.
In honor of Marcel, let's go number 2.
All right, number 2. I like the pauses. It's good radio. They teach you in radio school, pause.
That's like Jim Rome.
Doug Gottlieb.
Gottlieb does more than anything, yeah.
Let's see here. Plant.
What?
Plant.
You have to speak collect. No. Oh, obtain. I don't know.
What?
He thought he said collect.
All right. Let's go. Forget them, Lenny. Let's go with, enlarge.
Ooh.
Enlarge.
In stomach.
Grow.
There you go. Good job by you. We're tied at 9. Right back in your face. Justin and Roberto and the good guys are tied up, and we have the next clue back to us. So, Lenny, pick a number 1 to 10, but not 2 and not 7.
Number 1, Mookie Wilson.
Oh, number 1. All right. I think we had this last. Did we have this last week?
No.
We did not. All right. Let's go with, let's see here. How about sever? Sever.
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 Sever. Cut.
Nah. No, that's not right. Go ahead, Roberto.
Saw.
Chop.
No. All right, let's see here. I think this is... Let me ask the judge here. Hold on a second. Coop said no. Let's go...
I couldn't hear you because Roberto's mic was on.
How about detach?
Behead.
No. No, it's not. Well, no, it's not what we're looking for. Yeah. Go ahead, Roberto. You're listening to Password, the word game of the stars.
Let's see here. Let's go with.
Tied at 9.
Dismember.
Cut.
You just That's already
guessed
said
the first
that,
time,
dumbo.
Moron.
All right.
I can't understand.
All right. Well, you picked him. All right. What do you want? All right. Let's see. Let's go with. All right. Everything's tied together. You know how that works. So let's go with. Let's see here. I did sever. Let's go with separate. I don't know. It's the same. I'm trying to get the same place.
Separate.
Separate.
Yeah. Separate.
Everything's tied together. You're not far away. Go ahead.
I think we already said it, but I remember detach.
Still not detached.
All right. Well, this is. I had a feeling this would be terrible.
Yeah,
we'll
No. Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. Go
Let's
ahead.
See,
tough guy. See what you got.
Chop.
That is so great, Roberto. You don't know how great that is. And really very helpful.
Mexican.
Very. Wow. All right. No. Go ahead. You're up, though. Pick another number.
Racist.
The word we were looking for.
Amputate.
Amputate. Yes, if you sever. If you sever. You said something that was close to it, but yeah.
Dismember.
Yeah.
And then Justin gets cut again.
Yeah. Because he's.
Shut up. Number 10.
All right. Number 10. Go ahead. Close game. We're running out of time, so we could have a tie unless this last word.
Remember.
Oh, my gosh.
Curio.
Think.
No. Let's go with a recollection.
Reminisce.
What?
Oh, you said reminisce.
Oh, my. Here we go.
Too big a word for you guys.
Here we go. You're remembrance.
You're not kidding. What?
Remembrance.
Yeah, you got it.
Memory.
Yeah.
We still have time, though. We still have time.
One more.
How many points was that, Coop? Was that 8?
That was 8, yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, who's up?
You're up.
Pick a
number,
Lenny. Hurry up.
5.
Word number 5.
Here we go for the win.
All right. Here we go. The word we are looking for. How about, let's see here.
Oh, boy.
Shower. Hurry up!
Golden. Rain.
No.
It was bad.
Yeah, we won, baby!
You cheated. Cheater.